So I mentioned our focus on fire today focuses on the sun especially. And I work with a group called Third Act Faith for older climate activists. And one of the things we did for folks around the country is put together a list of resources, including poems and readings and references to the sun from different traditions. Someone submitted this poem called A Love Letter from the Sun by Hilary Kobernick. And with her permission, I have used this to kind of frame the sermon. So I'll be reading portions of her poem interspersed with my own reflections. Starting with her words. I cried the day Icarus died. When that small bundle of earth placed my love in his path, I tried to stop him. I wanted him to know I loved him, but he didn't have to kill himself, getting closer to me. As my heart melted his wax wings, I could not dim my sparks in sorrow. I tried. I shot rays like asteroids trying to break myself apart, but I burned the same temperature. I always do. You earth children, fragile mounds of dirt and breath, you stole my heart. The way you feed strays, I feed you every day. When Icarus fell, I prayed every nation would see him, four-limbed, not star, but flaming body. I wanted you to know a love this fierce takes prisoners. In this poem, Hilary Kobernick describes the constancy and the power of the sun, which provides the heat and light that we need to live. For 4.6 billion years, it has burned continuously, allowing for life on Earth. Our planet is in the sweet spot of our solar system, 93 million miles away from that great ball of fire. Any closer and the water that sustains life on Earth would evaporate. Any farther away and it would freeze solid, creating a frozen wasteland. Rising in the east each morning and setting in the west at night, the sun is such a constant presence that we take it for granted, failing to appreciate its life-enabling power and its potential danger. As we found out last spring when the equinox happened here, even when the sun is obscured, you cannot look directly at it. We all had our special glasses because it can sear our eyeballs, causing irreparable damage or even blindness. We may even experience temporary blind spots from being in bright sunlight, especially when it's reflected off of water or snow. And don't look too closely at our new light bulbs because they do the same thing I discovered this morning. The story of Icarus in Greek mythology provides a cautionary tale about underestimating the sun. Icarus is imprisoned with his father Daedalus, a master craftsman in a labyrinth that Daedalus himself had built for King Minos. Believing that Daedalus had double-crossed him, Minos instead imprisoned the craftsman and his son in the labyrinth. Daedalus created their means of escape, fashioning wings of metal, leather, and beeswax. He warned his son not to fly too close to the sun, but overcome by giddiness while flying, Icarus rose higher and higher until the beeswax melted and the young man plunged into the sea and drowned. As so often happens, hubris caused his downfall. The temptation to draw ever closer to the sun put him in the danger zone. His tragic end defines human frailty, as well as our quest for power. To this day, we are cautioned not to fly too close to the sun. Kobernick's poem continues, I love you 93 million miles. I love you generations. The love I have is more than what you have dwells in your ring fingers or when you rock your little ones. This love does not dim. I am the sun. I am love at its boiling point. If I could burn for you any less, if I could trap my Cupid arrows within my atmosphere, I would. Your four-chambered hearts do not know how much I care for you. When you first discovered heat makes flame, I rejoiced. When I saw your first fireworks, I thought you were joking. When I saw your smokestacks lit the sky, I told myself you were jealous of the clouds. But when the first atom bomb sun rose over the New Mexico desert, I wanted to shrivel. You had outgrown my love, and like a parent, if I could suicide from the edge of your ecosystem to save you, I would, children. I love you more than my own elements. In his latest book, Here Comes the Sun, environmentalist and third act founder Bill McKibben details our love affair with fire. He writes, "Fire defines us. Fire and the burning sun have made us who we are. Not only does the sun keep our planet habitable, but fire enabled the ancestors of our species to cook food, externalizing part of the digestive process. Their calorie-dense diet then fueled the evolution of our big brains, and language and socialization probably developed around fires that early humans lit to banish the dark and the cold. Since that time, we have invented increasingly sophisticated ways to burn things, turning from wood to peat and eventually to coal, oil, and gas. These fossil fuels contain remnants of organic matter that accumulated solar energy over millions of years. Through photosynthesis and slow geologic processes, the carbon from ancient plants and animals was trapped in coal, oil, and natural gas. And that carbon is released when we burn them. Not quite two centuries ago, humans invented the modern combustion engine and began burning fossil fuels in earnest, replacing human labor with machines. McKibben writes, a barrel of oil contains the energy equivalent of 25,000 hours of human labor, a dozen years of 40-hour weeks. That's in one barrel of oil. The carbon released when we burn these fossil fuels traps heat and raises Earth's temperature. In the process, we are changing the very climate of our planet. And although we've known about this danger for decades, we continue to burn. We are so in love with burning things that we ignore the great ball of fire in the middle of our solar system. Ancient peoples worshiped the sun as a god, supreme in power, wisdom, and justice, making a daily pass across the sky to survey his kingdom. From Egypt and India to Mexico and Peru, sun religions honored the great orb's unsurpassed power that provided light, warmth, and life itself. And yet today we ignore the sun's tremendous firepower in favor of the millennia-old sunlight that's trapped in fossil fuels. After 4.6 billion years, the sun's fire is undimmed, and yet we reject it, preferring the fire of our own making. Kaepernick's poem continues, "You are air, earth, yet you crush the earth and poison your air. I watched your heat burn oceans until the plumes obscured my view, your fever only whetting your desire for heat. I tried to wean you from your addiction, but my love was not enough for you. You have been killing yourself since the first industrial revolution. What will it take, my children, to teach you I will always burn? If there is an Icarus among you who can fly to me until the heat of my love melts his wings, will you know then that I have never meant ill to your kind? Will you slow your march toward burning?" Our love of burning fossil fuels was the engine that drove the Industrial Revolution and enabled capitalism to flourish. But for all the advances we reaped from that revolution, it held the seeds of our destruction. We are so dependent on capitalism and the institutions that drive it that we cannot imagine another way of life. We are so enamored of our own economic and technological prowess that we are blinded to its downside. At the beginning of the last century, the sociologist Max Weber described the institution of capitalism and its ties to the combustion engine and industrial revolution as an iron cage that determines the lifestyle of everyone who's born into it. He wrote, "Perhaps it will continue to do so until the last ton of fossil fuel has burnt to ashes." By burning fossil fuels, we have created our own downfall. Continuing in this path will result in more droughts and floods, more frequent and extreme storms, a rise in sea level that will submerge islands and coastal areas, and even hotter temperatures. Just as Daedalus was imprisoned in his own labyrinth, we are caught in a trap of our own making. But whereas the sun destroyed Icarus's escape hatch, melting the beeswax wings he used to flee the labyrinth. The sun is our escape hatch. Solar energy is the most affordable, efficient, and fastest growing form of energy available. Despite the obstacles that are being erected by the current administration, solar power comprises the vast majority of new energy in this country and around the world. In the past decade, China has far surpassed its own clean energy goals. In 2024, renewable energy provided almost three-fourths of the electricity in Europe. Last year in the US, solar panels and batteries accounted for 80% of new generating capacity, growing equally fast in blue states like California and red states like Texas. Sunday is a national celebration of the unstoppable transition to a better way to generate all the power we could ever need using fuels that are clean and unlimited. Improved batteries provide a steady flow of energy when the sun sets or the wind ceases. This technology is a particular boon to the global south where the sun shines strongest. A village in Kenya has a new water sanitation system powered by solar pumps. In the tiny nation of Lesotho, solar ovens are replacing cooking indoor over open flames, improving safety and air quality, as well as providing free fuel. Today across the country, including right here in Meadville, people are gathering for rallies, EV parades, interfaith walks, and other demonstrations of support for renewable energy. Our church is a clean energy leader in this community, having installed a solar array on the parish hall in 2022. At our own celebration this afternoon, you can learn about how others in our community have gone solar and share your own steps to get off of fossil fuels and move towards renewable energy. We need to quit burning fossil fuel and embrace the clean energy provided by the sun and the wind. As McKibben writes, the sun burns, so we don't have to. The only question is whether enough of us will step out of the iron cage we have created and turn to that great ball of fire in the sky before it's too late. I end with the closing lines of Kaepernick's poem, a reminder of the sun's constant fire that burned before we came into being and will continue long after we're gone. She writes, "If I could cry icicles to lower your temperature, I would, children. When you die, I will still be here burning, remembering, wishing that if only I loved you less, I could have saved you. But I am sun. I burn." In response to the word, there is a litany on an insert in your bulletin. I invite you to respond as indicated. The sun is an essential life-giving force that we often take for granted. Its powerful presence illuminates our world, providing energy, warmth, and sustaining life on Earth. As we explore our gratitude for the sun, we deepen our appreciation for its unwavering, benevolent influence on our lives. I am grateful for the sun, its radiant energy, and its life-giving power. Regardless of whether the sky is clear or cloudy, the sun remains steadfast, supplying the energy we all depend on. Its light nourishes our planet and supports the delicate balance of life. The sun shines without bias, offering its warmth and light to all living beings without distinction. It is a humbling reminder of the interconnectedness of life on Earth. Every creature, every plant, and even the cold glow of the moon at night are gifts from the sun. Various cultures throughout history have revered and worshiped the sun, recognizing its grandeur and generosity. As we express our gratitude for the sun, we honor its all-encompassing nature and acknowledge the higher power it represents. Whether we are indoors or outdoors, remembering the sun's constant presence reminds us of a benevolent force that cares for and sustains us all. Today and every day, I am grateful for the sun, for its unwavering support, its life-affirming energy, and its role as a nurturing force for all living beings on this planet and beyond. As we embrace our gratitude for the sun, we develop a deeper understanding of its significance in our lives and a greater appreciation for the interconnected web of life. Let us celebrate the sun's power and generosity, recognizing it as a divine gift that unites and sustains us all.